It's over.
It's only just begun.
That's true, but it's over.
Season 5 is over, yes.
It is. The 5th season is over.
It's unbelievable. It is over. It went by quicker than it normally does, and that's actually a fact, because they didn't take off for Memorial Day. So,
thank you for joining us.
This is Game of Owens. We're a podcast. And we actually just came back from a live show here in Chicago at Geek Bar. And see, he does it. He does it when we're in person, too, where he tries
talking
to...
Over you, talking
No, finishing the sentences. Oh, it's really annoying.
So cute.
But anyway...
It's cute, you say annoying.
Yeah, man. I mean, now you know there's been secrets that I've been holding from you for many years.
I know.
Oh, man.
The largest one probably being how this season, not just the episode, but the season came to a close. And I mean, just sitting around...
This? You knew about this?
With all these people. I mean, we had probably, close to 100 people in that bar.
I think, yeah.
It was amazing just watching the reaction.
At one point, it actually was kind of a bummer, but...
I don't honestly even know where to begin. I thought it was amazing finale, a lot of action, a lot of loose ends tied up, but even more questions are left, I think, because there were a lot of, one death in particular that wasn't shown on screen, but we can kind of figure that it happened.
Which one are you talking about?
Stannis.
Okay.
Mm.
I see. I'm having a... Okay,
where do
first
we even
off,
start?
First
where do we
off,
even start?
To everyone listening, this is different than anything that we've done before. We've only recorded, we've had a few live shows, but never an episode proper together. So right now, I'm looking at Eric and Micah. They're both sitting in front of me across the kitchen table. I just saw Micah say all that. And to those of you listening who understand how jealous of me you should be right now.
You know what?
If I grew a beard,
you'd be the perfect man. You know, I was just thinking it's super funny. I was thinking the same exact thing.
You know what I mean?
The exact same thing. Just watching him talking to the mic. Because I even have a more close-up view of Micah.
You do. And you have you can get the side view of his mouth. So that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, long story short, this is emotional in a lot of different ways for a lot of different reasons for us tonight. I think that the nature in which we ingested this finale of the 5th season was the right way.
Yes.
It was at a live show. It was with a ridiculous collection of diehard fans. And it ended with a ride home together. Mm. And now it's ending with a conversation together. And we haven't discussed anything yet that has happened.
Nope.
So I'm going to look at you guys both and say that Jon Snow is dead.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Probably. Maybe. What is dead may never die.
I mean, what the fuck?
There was a lot of violence. And look, I know it sounds even stupid to me. It sounds wimpy to hear somebody say that the violence on Game of Thrones shocks them, or they're surprised about the violence in Game of Thrones, because this is a very violent show and always has been. This particular episode, the manner of deaths for that everybody died in, though, if you add them up together, was this the most violent episode of Thrones yet? I mean, I'm thinking of watching how Meryn Trant died. I'm thinking of Miranda's death.
Yeah, that was
which was very graphic, very on screen.
It was met with massive cheers in the audience.
The cheers, really.
He would love Miranda's death, because who was responsible for it?
Well, Reek, that was just an example. But Meryn Trant was the gagged and bound and blinded. Was really struck me as being not over the top necessarily. Look, Arya is the avenging.
Why are we talking about it then? Do you feel about it?
How do I feel it?
Yeah,
gosh, man,
I think it's proper. It felt right. It's what you said before.
Think about how that scene opened, by the way.
Yeah.
Of course it was deserving.
Yeah, I have to say that I usually try to feel a little bit of remorse for even when bad characters pass and stories, but I find myself not really giving two shits about Meryn Trant after, because he was there during Sansa's moments with Joffrey in the throne room. He's always been there. He's been sort of the token asshole. In the background, I have him on one of my shirts I got from one of the HBO experiences at some con. Now they're all adding up and becoming...
it's
like a constant reminder of how shitty that person is, almost. And he completely got his due tonight. Completely. To, again, massive cheers from the crowd.
Yeah, yeah. The crowd was wonderful to cheer along with. I mean, I've been watching this season with friends, but we're talking about a group of four people. Tonight was, as we said, easily 100 people.
Yeah.
And that kind of reaction to each scene, cheers, lines, you know, all of the things we would call owns in this episode.
Oh,
were easy because they, every single one was cheered and, yeah, and paraded and celebrated as it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So that was extremely good.
I was looking over at you at one point and I was just like, I think our eye contact was like, that's going to be an own.
There was a meme. There was Stannis going,
That.
It was like Stewie on Family Guy going.
And I was thinking out loud. I was like, I'm definitely putting that audio somewhere in one of these episodes. He's gonna keep doing that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we all get to listen to it in person. It's amazing.
That's the joke.
It's not a joke. Look, it's fucking annoying.
No. The joke is this. So yeah, we just know it's this was the episode.
Please keep that in the show too.
Fine.
You said the words Jon Snow is dead, and yet we went off to talk a little bit about other characters who have died in this episode. But I think we really have to start with Jon because that's the way the season ended. And it is something that I've known for a long time. And it's something that you have to understand. That's not only have I kept it from the two of you, but you now know the pain that the book readers have been going through since A Dance with Dragons was released. We have no closure to this for a number of years.
Well, how do you feel excited for him when these good things are happening to him throughout the series over the past few years when you know how it's going to end? Like, how do you...
I think the real question here is this the end? You know, I mean, and the way that it played out in the show versus, you know, how it's done in the books, it's generally the same idea, but you don't have Thorne doing it, which I thought was completely fucked up. You know, Thorne is a guy who has really, in a way, been like Stannis, right? Because he's sort of endeared himself to you in a way, the two of them, you know, the way that he fought at the end of last season, not necessarily complimentary words that he has for Jon, but you know that there's a level of respect between the two of them. To see him take a sword and drive it into Jon's stomach, along with all those other no names, and then little Ollie comes along.
That bastard.
That bastard with eye daggers.
For the watch.
Yeah, for the watch. He's,
you know, can
he's
I just
all
say,
of what?
As much 12? Shit, as much as I don't like Ollie, I'm glad he still said for the watch and not for me. You know, or some bullshit
for my
like
family.
Well, because no, that would have
him and Arya could get together.
That would have been more. That would have been more tragic.
Yeah, deviant child
would have been even more tragic. But he did it for the watch. For the
Well,
girl.
I think, you know, and we'll obviously continue to explore this as our episodes are recorded in the future because there's a lot to talk about here.
Yeah,
we know Melisandre is back at the wall. We know
we
know what her character, or at least. Given the occupation, right, of hers and being very similar to somebody like Thoros of Myr.
Right. That's what I was
thinking. I think Davos being back is not that Jon can really be helped at this point, but to me, if Jon is able to come back in some way, and this is pure speculation at this point on my end because I know nothing beyond.
Okay. I believe you because I can see it in your eyes.
Nothing.
I can see it in your
eyes. Right.
You
can see it in my eyes. You can see the words.
Like, he looked at me like, listen, I'm
this,
not bullshitting
this absolves
right now.
Jon of any. Sort of allegiance and obligation to the Night's Watch and allows him to do anything.
Oh, cool.
In the future.
But does it really is my question.
Till death do I part. Well, I died.
First off, I don't know. You said it was different than how he died in the books. He got really destroyed by blades.
No, he did. He did. He does in the books. He gets, it's three blades in the books and then he falls and he never feels the fourth.
Oh, and there's probably more.
And the other thing is too, his last words are not Ollie, which I thought was really cheesy, but it's very similar to Rob's in that he says ghost, like Rob said, Grey Wind. So I don't know where that's going.
Chills, yeah. Even in this humidity.
That could be huge potentially because we know of the warging ability of the Starks.
Well, and Jon is a warg in the books by now. Even in, as a book too, he's having wolf dreams.
This brings me back to our conversations right before the season when we were finishing the Red Wedding. And we were thinking about what Rob's likelihood of things that could have happened, and of course that end was tied with what happened to Grey Wind. That is it's almost difficult to talk about that now, but I think that really that may be the only logical line of conversation, because where do you go from beyond Eliza Thorne? It didn't have that way in the books, fine, but in this episode, for the sake of this universe that we're talking about right now, that bastard completely 180'd, could have possibly had this in his mind for an extent of time. There was the grave. This was so evilly done, like that evil, some evil shit. Like, yeah, I don't care how you feel about what's happening. Yeah. That's the same as the deserters, not to the same level of what they did at Craster's Keep, but the mutineers.
Oh,
this is the same kinds of things, except it was like the lie, Ollie's lie coming in and setting up Benjen.
Oh, about Benjen.
HBO lying to us and making us think that mention for Benjen was
fuck you,
real.
HBO.
And then the setup of people, the shadowy nature, the grave, and just all the symbology that we can say that John saw and that we saw was incredibly dark. So I don't know what is in store for the Watch. I don't know what's going on with the Watch, but they made a grave mistake, especially knowing all the shit that we've saw happen with Hardhome, knowing what Daenerys is up to in the East.
Yep.
It's just ludicrous, and I didn't see a point for it. It's not like the wildlings were staying and fighting them at the wall.
No.
They passed through and went to the gift.
Yep.
They weren't seen in this episode.
Nope.
I think, you know, there are differences in the books, and we'll get to them, but you do have wildlings at the wall. So I think the tenuous nature, right?
Yeah.
But you can maybe get a little bit more of the feeling of the poor relationship that exists between the wildlings and the Night's Watch, because they're physically there. You know, and they're all interacting with each other, living, breathing with each other.
Now it's just prejudice in the show. It's kind
it's what Zach was talking about. You didn't really get a sense that the wildlings right now were of any threat to the Night's Watch. They just killed the guy who was really going to bond these people together.
Yeah.
And there's no point. I agree. There was no point for it. Like, what are you going to do now? Like, the wildlings weren't causing any trouble, and John wasn't responsible for anything bad that has happened. But
it gets to the point where, as a Night's Watch member, how can you take yourself seriously? You've mutinied, you know, more than one Lord Commander now, or members of your people have, and you would defend one mutiny, but then immediately cause another. I mean, not to say there aren't Night's Watch members that are that had no part in both of those mutinies, but. The fact is, there's, 50 men left, they say in the show? Like, at some point it's mentioned about...
There's not many.
There are not many people remain. And you're pretty much just a band of rogues now. You have no moral principle. You have no duty. You have no honor, rather. And there was something that really banded the Night's Watch men together for me, that even though they had been criminals and, you know, crooks and all this stuff, they managed to have this code that, for the most part, they stuck to for a while. It was something that was redeeming for all of them. Until you realize that they are, in fact, all crooks and criminals and lowly people. And, you know, due to whatever, maybe it's just that they're scared or however pure their motives may be. I mean, you don't just kill your Lord Commander. You just don't fucking do it. And now they're not men of the Night's Watch. They're not anybody. How can they sleep at night?
The main difference here is we have Alistair Thorne, who's, I guess, in our minds, the one who led this effort as far as the show is submitting it. And they have an immediate replacement for him. They already have a leader. When John was gone at Hardhome, he was already there. He was on top of the wall when they arrived. So the structure is in place. It's not quite the same as what happened when Mormont was taken
out. You're right. In fact, I was thinking it would dissolve into chaos, but now you're right. I mean, Thorne's just ready-made.
But how do you respect a Lord Commander that did that?
Well, you can't, but I mean, and Micah, I want to get back to what you were saying about John being, if he can be revived, if he is in fact not dead or did die, but can be revived by Melisandre or however he comes back, about him being free of his choices. Even if he is a changed man, the way that like Beric Dondarrion reflects that he's a changed man from being brought back from the dead, I still don't see John having any other, like, John was so pure in terms of wanting to broker this peace between the two peoples. I really can't imagine him still like releasing himself, allowing himself to be released from that vow, because ultimately he would just preside over this.
But what loyalty does he have?
Terrible. No need for loyalty, but I what I'm saying is I think he still thinks it's wrong that the Night's Watch would then kill the wildlings because the wildlings are people too.
Maybe he feels a responsibility to the Watch even more so now after seeing what it's descended into. But I think that you're onto something because, I mean, if he died, this is all, wow.
I love how
he should have just left in the first place.
What do you mean?
When he had the offer from King Stannis.
Oh, yeah.
He should have left. Yeah, but then we wouldn't have gotten to see Hardhome.
There's a lot to talk about. I mean, you could fill up an entire episode with just John, but
I know.
Yeah,
this is going to be good in the future, though. I'm glad that we're here.
Night's
I'm glad
Watch,
that the listeners, and us are on the same page here. Yeah. I'm glad that you could talk about it.
I know it's great to finally be able to talk about this after several years. Yeah, no, it's the alcohol. But seriously,
thank you for rearming the
Night's. Thank you for all of your three-eyed raven.
Yes.
Yep. But yeah, the Night's Watch, I don't think he has any obligation. He doesn't have any reason to go back to them. Sam has been sent to Old Town, to become a maester in this episode. And so really, who is left at the Wall at this point that he really needs to have any sort of allegiance to? He could go and join with the wildlings if he want to. But my thing is, we know that there is a lot of questions surrounding his parentage. And if he is in fact a Targaryen, or he is Azor Ahai.
Doesn't matter that he's dead, though.
Well, that's the greatest question. Is he really dead? I mean, he looked pretty dead at the end of the episode.
He looked dead
to me.
Doesn't it seem like something George would do, though? Like, to just take Jon Snow from us?
And he's been teasing it in interviews. I mean, obviously, you probably haven't read those part of the interviews that he's done.
No, I haven't.
But it's you know, there was one where somebody asked him about Jon. He's like, oh, you think he's dead, do you? You know, typical George, but... At the same time, I mean, let's go back to season one. Like, nobody could cope with Ned being killed, but yet it happened.
That's what I'm saying. Are we going to be forced to move on from this? Because I know we can. There's so many other things that we have to talk about, and I have to sort of preemptively apologize for, like,
John.
You know, well, this episode that you're listening to is our take directly following the airing of the episode, and we're together, and so I feel like even more so than normally. Our thoughts are going to be so free flowing and sporadic when it comes to these things. So hopefully you enjoy it. But I do want to say it doesn't, with all of these other things that we've yet to get to, in our talk so far, there's so much to fill what's going on in this world. I think it may be a serious chance that Jon Snow's death is something that we have to deal with in season 5. Oh. Like, oh, you think he's going to war against a ghost? That's cute. You think that Melisandre, since she's a Red Priestess, is gonna bring.
Well, she's down in the dumps. I mean, well, especially after what happened.
I definitely want to talk about Melisandre and her looks. There's not a lot of dialogue for her in this episode, but the way that she looked crestfallen. When it turned out that it was sort of a mixed blessing with Stannis's the whole result of the burning of Shireen Baratheon. Beginning of the episode opened with this, which is great. But, I mean, he finds that the weather has improved, except to find out that even more of his men have mutinied and his wife has killed herself. And it's just something that, with that stroke of bad luck, Melisandre quickly realizes that perhaps he's not Azor Ahai reborn after all, or it would have worked better.
Or something.
Yeah.
Or something.
Abandons him before the battle. She just goes away. And he's just had so much bad news. It was amazing. It was like, Your Grace, what could be worse than mutiny? Oh, your wife is dead. Your Grace. Melisandre's run off. He was just getting one piece of bad news after the other. But she really, I think, she rode for the Wall because that's her last hope of redemption for herself. Maybe she is a fraud. Maybe she doesn't know what the hell she's doing. I feel like, you know, we mentioned before, eye boning, we called it, the looks that she gave Jon Snow in last season's ending moments. And it's just something that I think really highly that she really wants to see what she can see with Jon. I think that it's good timing that they placed her back at the Wall. They showed her enter.
Well, he was stabbed to death. You know?
Yeah.
I expected to see his eyes turn into a white's eyes before it closed. And I did not expect to see the episode in there.
No. It lingered very long to watch the blood pool the pool.
I will say this, though. Everything else aside, this was an amazing way to end this season this episode.
Definitely.
Because all the others, well, not all of them, but even last season, right? Arya's on a boat, right? That's how the season ended.
Yeah, but season 4 was very sensational.
It had a lot of major moments. That's true. It had a lot of episode 9s, right?
Yeah.
That's fair to say. But I feel like just looking back, we've never had a cliffhanger like this because we don't know.
Cliffhanger after cliffhanger after cliffhanger.
We don't, right? We could easily sit here and say, clear as day, John's dead.
Right. Right.
There's no reason to think otherwise.
Right.
But we know better. With this show, we know better. And
I think so, unless the head's off.
Yeah.
So Ned's head was taken off.
Pretty much. And he didn't come back.
Okay, I'm holding out hope because I don't want to think that John's dead. So for everyone that's listening right now, maybe you guys agree with me, do you? Jon Snow, there's a chance.
Yeah.
There's a chance.
Any death that's not...
confirm the kill. We learned it from Oberyn.
Confirm the kill.
I'm rising my water bottle
and
here.
I heard Ghost is shooting for season six, so...
Well,
Ghost is shooting.
That's a good
Where the
rumor.
Fuck was Ghost during John's death?
He's like lazy as Drogon.
Here's a dire wolf that enters through doors he probably can't open. You know, goes through walls basically when Sam's in trouble, but John gets mutinied. What do they do to his... Like, I'm thinking, did they overpower him the way that the Red Wedding and that Grey Wind was overpowered?
I think it all happened. And in this instance, everything happened so quickly. It wasn't like a sense where he could just come out of nowhere. But Sam's situation was pretty quick, too. But maybe Ghost just happened to be nearby.
I don't know if it was that quick, though.
No,
it was like a good 3 minutes
like
or so,
guys.
Right?
Yeah, it might have been. The thing is, smelled the, I don't know, conspiracies in the air. I guess it's a heavy scent.
It happened. The episode was just flowing forward, you know?
Yeah.
It didn't feel, it felt like a transitive moment. It didn't feel like the end. And, oh man, was this a surprise. Like,
where was Davos? Did he just peace out, or was he asleep?
They did it under the guys. Like, they, I'm a little less let down because we kind of decided that there's hope.
Yeah, I still think there's a chance.
If it was Jon's heads off, or if the Night's King would have, you know, impaled him on a lance and thrown him, you know, and just destroyed him, and he would have turned into a white or something at Hardhome. Like, if it was something like that, or the way Meryn Trent went, etc., then I think this would be a much more somber episode. Yeah. We have a ton of emotions to go through right now, and we're sitting in Eric's kitchen recording in a way that we haven't recorded ever in almost 300 episodes. So I'm actually kind of personally a little bit impressed that we've gotten this far into it, because it's not easy to shuffle all these thoughts together, especially when you watch the episode in the way that we did watch it, and it was an episode like this. Like, we didn't come home from Dance of Dragons and, oh, did you see Daenerys fly off in her dragon?
Yeah.
I mean, in this episode, we saw, I almost called him Sophie and Alfie. We saw Sansa and Theon jump from a wall in Winterfell holding hands.
Do you dress me?
We saw Arya in the House of Black and White get completely just shown the way things are done.
Dude.
You can't just take... You can't join that order and make your own decisions.
Can I just say I predicted that? I really feel like I called there being some sort of lesson learned or some kind of penalty for her doing her own thing with that. And it may be that she is blind now, I guess.
That was, it was something.
Something to do with that. I'm really...
No comment.
Very confused.
Oh, so you know.
No, I am confused.
Damn.
About it. I think anything that is magically induced could be reversed.
You've read too much Harry Potter, my friend.
I don't know.
It's unsticking charm.
Arya is in the process of learning, and I think that, you know, she has a ways to go, and this is the penalty,
it's
right?
It's like the tension.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, cool.
For what she did to Meryn Trant. It wasn't her life to take, right? That's what Jaqen tells her. And, man, that scene where
that
she's
was...
just pulling the faces off one after the other.
So cool.
They're the same face. Now, how did... There's more than one Arya face. There's more than one Jack and Hagar. This is where I don't follow, is because I assume that these faces
Hagar.
that are hanging
gets me every time.
I mean, what?
Hagar gets me every single.
Hagar, Sammy Hagar.
Yes, I think of a rock band every time you see Jack and Hagar.
Exactly. I'm doing the
everyone's
air,
got the
air
same
guitar.
Face.
I'm air guitaring in front of Zach right now.
You are.
But no, Jack and I don't understand how there's more than one of the same face, because they have the Hall of Faces. You know, if they can actually just. I don't.
Well, the point is
that
it's magic.
Well, the point is that they're no one, so it really doesn't matter which
no
face you pull off.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, they're no one and everyone at the same time.
She finds her own face, and I wonder how they got that, because they haven't like. But anyway, it was very interesting. I like that it raises questions.
She's
lived
there for a while.
We have no idea.
Yeah,
what the magic is behind that.
So
although
many.
There was a line that Jaqen said tonight, only death can pay for life. He did say that. So that
he said that.
I think he said that before
season
too.
Season two.
Again, though, it ties in Mary Buzz Durr.
What he did though, with which was incredibly selfless, even though the person is technically no one. Yeah. He's like, okay, listen, you have to pay for this. You took a death that the God of Death did not ask for, or you took a life that God of Death did not ask for. Boom, I'm dead now. Mm-hmm. Like, holy shit! And I felt it there as well. I thought we were losing Jack and Hagar again.
And then he popped up right behind.
Yeah. Just hey. So by the way. Don't do that again.
Who's the real Jack and Hagar? Has it been a different one every time she's seen him?
I believe it has been a different one every time we've seen him.
I think going into the season, we were kind of willing to believe that too, that perhaps the Jackin was a different Jackin or somebody else wearing his face or something like that. I don't know. The mentor character. And obviously, I think because they brought the same actor back, we were just like, oh, that's an easy way for them to tell the story.
Right.
And then it might not be the same.
But it's a good, the way that they've used it though is really interesting.
Yes, yeah. I completely agree. That storyline is, I think, one of the standout, just really cool things that
mathematical
they were able to do this season.
Really mathy. And I think it's great because it's scattered within so many things that are upfront and straightforward. Mm-hmm. We have so many different kinds of entertainment. If we want to boil down, you know, the ingestion of story as entertainment for us, mm-hmm. we have the drama at Winterfell. We have the things with Stannis and Shireen, and then now Selyse, which was horribly brutal. I mean, that was cool. It was. I mean, of course. I mean, it's not real, so I can. You know, I'm not going to be too sad about it.
Yeah.
But that shot, David Nutter did an amazing job in this episode. I thought particularly, not to go off what I was saying before, but when they were in the outskirts of Winterfell, marching with Stannis' company.
Yeah.
Just those shots. It gave it so much space. It felt like. You were there. It felt like you were it literally, and I don't know, that's very very cinematic, something that we don't see executed that well in film, let alone in television shows. And it's just like, it's wonderful to see what was last season be improved on, which is hard to say, but in episodes like this and episodes like Carter Home,
there was more time spent to the
outside of Winterfell in this episode.
To the fields and kind of seeing
when they were in the fields and like
seeing the armies converge.
And then the hammer was falling.
Thinking about when Stannis comes at Mance.
Oh,
the
Wildlings. Yeah. But even, I feel like that was so, I felt so much polish from that. But this felt so visceral and real. And just the angle, like when the armies were, it's just, it's all perspective when we're taking this in. And for them to accomplish a place that's not real with practical and visual effects and for it to come out as neatly as it did, I'm just so excited to see what the improvement is with next season, because this season, I think now that it's over and we'll have more time to talk about this, but we were talking about some in the live show comparing this season to other seasons, but this season has been so just damn raw. You know?
Well, and you don't know what Stannis is going to say as like a battle cry, or if he's just going to give up when he sees the army. He brandishes his sword. That's his battle cry, is this pulling the sword out. I think, you know, just given that he's lost actually everything, going into that battle, which is very clearly lopsided, it's an uneven battle due to sheer numbers and everything. He's got no hope. And for a man who has sort of resolved to die, I mean, his death, the whole circumstances surrounding his death, I don't know why the final blow was off screen.
More cliffhanger. I mean,
is that meant to be questionable?
Honestly, before any other thing, I feel like we say should be taken too seriously. We need to watch it again, not on a projector screen, suspended in the air. Yeah. That's such a good question, and I don't know. I feel like I need to watch it again and think more on it. Brienne's speech was fabulous.
Oh, I sentence you to die. I mean, hell, that's amazing. Dude. She's been waiting to see. She's been practicing.
But
that's
Renly's not the real king, so she needs to get over that.
That did sit not that well with me.
The one true king. Fuck off. He wasn't. He was the little brother. Learn your line of succession.
I really like the fact that Stannis loses everything really before he loses his life. And it's all because of his own actions, right? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, no, very much.
He lost us last week. What's next?
It's just like that's how it's like, oh, by the way, it's fate saying you should probably not have done that, and fuck you for doing it. It's like,
yeah, he got handled.
Well, his men thought it was the way, totally wasn't. He got handled. Lose everything.
His men basically saying, this dude is batshit crazy. I'm out of here.
No kidding. I mean, what did he think was going to happen?
You burn your daughter.
I've never been to a live show or Game of Thrones gathering before that had people like, you know, when you're talking about, I had people ask me, what's your favorite character? And we're like, okay, what? No one was supporting, there was no Stannis people. And that's not, That doesn't happen. Stannis Baratheon, like I said last week, is our, he's our guy, was our
even
guy.
Even at the end of last season and before that, people would, you know, just be like, well, they recognize his claim, you know, at least. Because he was like the last.
But they had these moments with him. Kings. The book readers knew that he offered Jon the wardenship and the lordship of the North. Like, this is, it's, oh man, this was a great finale. This was a great episode.
It was amazing.
I am liking it the more I think about it, too.
You know what I mean?
Just talking about the intricacies of these.
Truly, truly.
And we talked about this during our show at Geek Bar, but the way that you can just take a character, right, that in minutes, you hate them.
Oh, like, right.
A character that you've been kind of getting behind a little bit all season.
Right.
You just mentioned this, and then that's it. But I do agree that they specifically did this with Stannis so that we probably wouldn't feel as bad about him dying, because this was a guy we were getting behind, and then he kills his daughter, so now we have all every reason to hate him, so we don't really care if he dies,
you know, and half
at the
his,
end of the season.
Half his men leave him. I wonder if those are the half of the men that, like, Shireen taught to read. She's teaching his
Well, those are also the men who could have grown a pair of balls and actually done something prevent that from happening,
right,
too. Instead of just standing there and watching.
You know? Yeah, he's only one man. I don't care what he commands. You can't let a child burn like that. But I mean, this is a different time, and lots of more horrible things have happened in our history and the not so distant past. So it's easy to be so overly critical, or it's easy to be so critical on Stannis, but history doesn't excuse what anyone's done, and doesn't excuse what they did, and doesn't excuse what happens in the future. It all sucks. It's just, I don't know. It's really interesting to look at him in that light and to see all that's happened to him because of it. And I find it really kind of interesting that we've spoken about John in the way that we have. And, you know, last week, over a week ago, I would have been able to say that Stannis was one of my favorite characters in the show. I used to celebrate him like everyone else. Especially after last season,
the Manus.
Remember the shots?
Yes.
Walking up to Mance Rayder and having all his people. Fewer. Thank you. All of it. It's just to see. And to feel now, do you remember how insanely passionate we were in this very season? Brienne, don't do it. Fail.
Yes.
Die.
Yes.
Do
absolutely.
Remember?
Or if you have to do it, let them kill the Boltons first.
Exactly. And then now what's happened? The Boltons won.
Yeah, both of them are still alive. Which I'm pretty upset about.
And Brienne killed Stannis, and in our conversation
supposedly
here, we haven't even really cared about it.
Yeah, well, and like, that's the weirdest thing about the cutaways. That's the death I'm most sure of actually happened. Like, Brienne sentences him to die. She swings a sword. I feel like he dies. Does she have a moment of? I won't even call it a moment of weakness. Does she have a moment of mercy? About this.
She's
whole
not
thing?
A mom. So
does she strike? Well, she's not mother. Yeah, mother's
oh,
mercy.
I see that.
Does she strike a tree next to him and be like, "Eh, this isn't a real fight because you're unarmed"? And this, that, the other. I mean,
to me though, there was something honorable about it. Cutting away for somebody like,
you know,
Brienne.
Like, do they care? Is it like out of respect for Stannis that the show wouldn't show him dying? It's like, this character's not somebody who we're gonna disgrace by showing his corpse.
They showed
literally
corpse.
Everybody else's. Yeah, yeah. It's like, why was it off screen?
Like I said, I'm just gonna need more time. We'll come back to that on our next episode this week, obviously.
Sure. But I think that's gonna be a question that's out there just because of the fact that they cut away.
Tell us what you think. Yeah, I mean,
is he alive?
That's what it was for. Let's be honest.
I mean, he got pretty roughed up. I mean, it looked like his leg got cut.
But he was standing. That's the most important thing.
Even if she doesn't kill him all the way, she's not. I think it's quite a different affair to see her take him to like a medic or something. I mean, he might just bleed out.
Could you imagine,
Podrick,
what we saw before with Brienne and Jaime and Brienne and Podrick? Could you imagine Brienne, Podrick, and Stannis traveling the countryside?
Yeah, do we feel
absolutely?
I love it. Do we feel bad for Stannis now? Do we feel pity because he made the wrong decision? I mean, it was to burn his daughter. We can never excuse it. But do we feel bad? Do we feel pity? Does this episode ask us to feel pity for a man who actually has lost everything?
I did.
Before being killed.
I did.
I felt a little bad for him too, to be honest. He made the wrong call. He had a woman,
Theon's done worse,
whispering
in
his ears.
And we're cheering for him.
It's
you know what I mean?
Yes, we did cheer for Theon.
And he burned two children at once. And he had so it's
betrayed Rob.
Of course, these are all wonderful questions that are coming up and wonderful emotions that we're sharing at a kitchen table together because of the writing of George R. R. Martin and David Benioff and Dan Weiss for crafting this finale and the entire show for that matter in the way that they have. That we can sit and think, well, we did cheer for Theon. When he grabbed Sansa's hand, when he flipped, we cheered for Theon when he killed a girl, when he threw a girl off of a wall.
Yeah.
And
she needed killing.
And now we're asking ourselves almost trepidously, should we feel okay? Should we feel sorry for Stannis because he failed and his wife killed himself and he lost everything? Yeah, I think we should.
Well,
it was his own doing, though. It's not like somebody else did this to him.
Theon's own doing as well.
That's really what tugs at our hearts too. Seeing Theon be part of an escape attempt from the Boltons that is successful, as far as we know. After that escape attempt, you know, the last few times he's tried and failed miserably, it makes your heart go up, you know, in a very happy sort of.
It does. Jump. I think the torture helps, but still,
it's all different levels of how you feel though, because Ramsay is obviously a worse person than, say, Theon was. But, you know, Stannis, where does he fall into that category? I don't know. I do think that I did feel bad for him. I did, because I think you got to see into a broken man. Like, he's broken down, but it's mostly his own doing. Like, he has this drive within him because he believes he has the rightful claim.
The difference here is that Stannis thought he was saving the world. He thought that he was putting himself in a place where he could defend the realm against the White Walkers.
Yes, 100%.
He thought he was Azor Ahai.
Yep.
And he was willing to sacrifice everything to make that happen.
Yeah, it takes a certain kind of person to actually be able to make those sacrifices.
A crazy-ass person.
But if he were right...
He saw it as duty and honor, and we've seen duty and honor fail. We've saw miserably. The goodness of Jon destroy him. Mm-hmm. Or was it the weakness and malice of others?
Yeah.
More so, I believe. We saw what happened to Stannis. And we can only hope. I don't know. I'm saying this, and I wasn't even thinking this, but the more I look at you guys, the more I think about love and friendship, and the more I think about how cool it would be if Brienne gave him a chance. And that did turn in. Like, look at what her experience with Jaime and her did for everyone's character liking Jamie, because he was one of the early big hates in the whole series.
Yeah, for throwing Bran out the window. I don't know. Sometimes you make the wrong...
Stannis and Bran could do some cool things.
I like that idea.
I don't know if it would... I mean, that would be... Next season. That would literally be the craziest thing that could ever happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
like you like that?
Brianis.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
We got to throw a pod in there, too.
Yeah. No, we were talking about the... sort of at the start of the show, I wanted to bring up the violent deaths again, because I mentioned Meryn, of course, Miranda, the stabbing death of Jon, which we talked at length about. I forgot one very important one to me personally, which was Myrcella. Myrcella dying. I mean,
yeah.
If you're talking about an innocent dying, I feel like Myrcella is as good an example as any. And that was something that happened in her father's arms after the big reveal, after the heartfelt.
Oh my gosh, people cheered.
I mean, and I'm proud you're my father. Just the fact that there was nothing he could do about it. And I'm sure he's going to turn the boat around and wreak high hell if he can, but it was so undignified the way, and of course I thought about it immediately. I was like, oh, she kissed her on the lips. There's probably poison on those lips.
Yeah, I mean.
And I actually was happy that I kind of figured that was something that was up.
Yeah, it was a tough scene to watch because clearly she's alive in the books and that's a difference. But you know, it takes me back to the beginning of the season, right? The prophecy, or what you want to call
Jaime's
it.
Jaime's got to carry the corpse of their daughter into the throne room and be Cersei,
and think about how that might go over with Cersei.
I mean, failed you,
especially after all that's happened.
Deep shit.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So
that relationship's
this continues to evolve, right? This opening scene that we saw with Maggie the Frog and Cersei and her friend in that hut about her children, right? Her children are in danger, and now she only has one left. Joffrey's dead, Myrcella's dead, T- Tommen is starving himself
for episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know what kind of condition he is. I was half expecting her to get the news that something terrible had happened to him too.
Well, and that I was as well. The High Sparrow at one point still refers to him as King Tommen though. And I was thinking, okay, he's still in power. Like the High Sparrow, the Faith Militant have not yet removed him from power. Otherwise, there'd probably be different wording. Maybe it's hoping too much, but King Tommen's still in there somehow.
Yeah, no, I was expecting to see with that particular storyline, and I know that we'll probably give that more time in the follow-up episode this week. But just for the sake of us being here, I was expecting to see Cersei have some large confession that would lead to him being taken out of his place as king, and I thought that Littlefinger's gift would have something to do with all of this happening, and it could possibly be someone like Gendry who could sweep in and take that position. Maybe that's too storybook, but I figured maybe all of those things would happen just in time for a real threat to be coming, to where we would immediately go back in danger. We wouldn't have a lot of happy period, happy time with someone who we thought was a cool king. Like, I thought that was kind of good late season interestingness in Game of Thrones, but it didn't happen. What we saw, on the other hand, was Cersei walk into the Red Keep, and we see essentially the new leadership. No one there gave her any pity. They all looked at her and they saw everything that she's ever done.
Kyber, well, of course, drapes her in the.
Yeah, of course. I thought that was. I don't know. I know we'll talk more, but that scene was fucked up. The very end there. I don't know when we get into the rest of it, but the way that they were when she came in, that was just.
It is worth saying amazing job was done on the part of Lena Headey.
She'll win an award or two.
Because that was stripping of her finery and walking through the streets and everything that was yelled at her, the bloody feet, all the things thrown at her. I mean, it was just an amazing scene. Amazing scene in the books. Amazing scene to watch. But to me, I think a really severe penalty for what she admitted to doing. I feel like deep down, the High Sparrow knows more than what he leads on.
You can see it in his eyes.
He clearly was already aware of Lancel. I think we know that Lancel confessed at one point
later than he had it.
But at the same time, he's trying to get more information out of her, and she does not give it all as it relates to Jaime. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought, if she would have admitted to that, maybe the punishment fits the crime in the sense of her having to walk through the streets in that way. I'm not saying it was dignified or anything like that. I mean, it was horrible, but just for what she did with Lancel to have to go through that, I don't know. I mean,
it's just, come on, man. King's Landing is sinking into this. It's like they're going backward while they need to be going forward, because shit is going down in the rest of the world. We've got the White Walker. I mean, it's literally, it's like watching a train wreck in slow motion.
Yeah.
And now we have the Mountain, who's been animated and who's large and in charge and ready for orders.
Our friend Andrew said Franken Mountain.
Exactly.
I like that term. We thought King's Landing was messed up when Robert was king because he wasn't doing a good job running it.
Right.
That's the beginning of the fucking series. It's only gotten worse.
I mean, I guess it's a great allegory to, I mean, we've always mentioned this. If you're someone who's been with us for years, like we got to meet tonight, which was fantastic. Yes, this is one of the best experiences
meeting
we've
listeners
had
tonight at Geek
with the show. Yeah, it was very, very cool. But if you've been listening for years, you know that we talk about how this applies so much to the real world, not just our current history, but history in the past, and probably for history that will be in the future. Because it's like, as much as we all would like to think that our current time is above and beyond and progressing past the mistakes that have happened in the past, just go to stories, not only fiction, but go to our own stories in history and see that all of these people that were alive at those times were just like us. They were feeling alive. They were looking around, seeing their friends, making decisions. And at that moment, they were the most progressed that there was to be progressed. And so to know that that's happening in Westeros right now, and to know that such a threat is coming to their civilization, and to know that that same sort of painful situation as a viewer of a story is looking at it and going, okay, first off, none of what you're doing is good. Second off, you're literally setting yourself up for what will be a terrible, terrible failure later on when the things that you don't know about that we know about are going to happen. And it's like, that's another twist in the story, essentially. Like, there wasn't really, there wasn't a cliffhanger in King's Landing like there was All Over, but we were left with the pain of the way the leadership has looked at Cersei and the way that King's Landing will be after that. And we were left with the pain, obviously, of what happened to her.
And she has to await trial. It's not just, maybe it's not over.
Sort of a soft cliffhanger there. I mean, we didn't see Tommen, and we don't know what he's looking like now. I mean, for me, the Tommen storyline is kind of, well, and Margaery and Loras, all the Tyrells.
Exactly. They were
like with Baelish and with Lady Olenna and all of that kind of stuff. And
I expected to see that.
I did kind of.
Unless you're just meant to believe that it was Lancel, but I feel like that's too easy.
But for me, it's like these are going to be the first few episodes of season six with these guys, like all the characters we're talking about that we didn't necessarily see. Kind of
at this point,
I'm just happy these people are still alive.
I can't even guess.
We're
I don't know.
Taking a death toll and be like, who's still alive?
The flow of this fifth season has been completely unexpected, and I think for a lot of viewers that were inside of it, that were either casual or dedicated, and that there was a selection of people that have had a bit of friction with this season compared to others. But I think now that we've seen it all, it's just so much more clear to me, at least personally, what the vision was and what the purpose was. And it's unlike anything that I've seen before. And that's really cool.
You're telling a story with such a vast number of characters. And this was, in some ways, Cersei's season beginning with her prophecy. It was very meant, we were very much meant, I think, to be thinking about her even while watching the other scenes that happened. But then also, the side stories that don't tie as well into, like Dorne ties really well into Cersei. But something like Stannis and Jon at the Wall doesn't. But with those, you also get this story of loss and your actions having consequences. And it kind of is still, in some ways, a Cersei story, a cautionary tale of living in this world, of having power and losing it, you know, having it taken from you by those due to fear or due to ignorance. It's kind of the overall ode of this.
To me, it's so interesting to be sitting in the end of the fifth season now, right? And for such a long time, we talked about the Starks, right? And how their family was decimated,
how
right?
How many hours did we not waste? How many hours did we spend talking about the Starks who are...
My point is, though, that now here we are at the end of season five. The Baratheons have been decimated. The Lannisters have been decimated. All these families that we thought like two seasons ago, three seasons ago, were riding high and everything was going really well for them.
I didn't even know who the Boltons were a couple seasons ago.
Not right. You got the Boltons in Winterfell. The Tyrells, they're kind of in trouble. Dorne, who knows? Like, what is Trystane going to do now? He's going to go back to Dorne and probably light the fucking thing on fire.
Yeah.
At least Ilaria and the Sand Snakes. I mean, we're so like consumed now by all these different storylines that we didn't even know about. To your point, like the Boltons, who knows? Jon Snow is fucking dead.
For all intents
and purposes,
right? Maybe
everything we've known. If you go back and watch like the first episode of the first season, and go think about where you are right now,
after Hardhome, after
Daenerys doesn't even break the wheel. The thing is fucking.
Yeah, no.
Broken already.
The wheel fell in a vat. It's just like the end of T2. The wheel fell in there.
Yeah.
It's just bubbling. And she's joyful. Also in a Terminator movie, so that kind of makes sense.
That's July 1st.
I didn't mean to do that, but hey.
Eric's plugging.
I'm totally going to be there.
I heard that Jim Cameron gave his stamp of approval.
I did hear that. He said, this is the third Terminator movie. It's technically the fifth. He said, this is the third.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, before we get too sidetracked.
Yeah.
I think it's important for us to say again that this has been a really great experience, and I think it's also important to thank everyone who has journeyed with us along this path through the fifth season. We have officially reached the end. It is the end. We can all exhale accordingly together. We've met
like Stannis.
So many, right? They'll put it in right here. It's been a process, and we've met so many more of you on this journey, and we've discovered more about what we like, more about what we dislike, more about ourselves, more about this show, more about our listeners. And I just think that this oncoming on season will be insanely fun. At one point tonight, Micah looks over to me and asks me, he goes, "You excited to get back to the books?"
And not if they contain like, this shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to get back to the books. It's kind of, you know, it's fun. I mean, after you know, 10 weeks of all this action.
It's over. I can't believe it.
Yeah. But, you know, we left off at the Red Wedding, right? Or yeah, just after the just Red after. Wedding with Arya. Mm-hmm. And now we get to go back. And you know, there's so many other things. I mean, there's obviously been storylines that haven't made it into the show, characters that haven't made it to the show. There's been changes in the show. But we get to read it as it is in the books. And I think that that's going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun because there are a lot of differences. There are things, I mean, that even I don't remember. And, you know, to go back or to see how things that get laid out earlier tie into plot lines later on, I think it's going to be good. It's our official on season.
Yeah. Well, this has just been a blip in our full calendar year. It definitely didn't feel like it was time for the fifth season to begin. And now we have to say that the fifth season is over. Yeah, and we're looking at each other quizzically now. Yeah,
the train comes by.
As the train. We'll leave this train in, and we've done our best to cut out the rest of them. But, yeah, I don't know. It just feels weird that we've made it here, and I'm really glad that we were able to record together like this.
Yeah, this is cool.
Especially for this episode. Again, we had an incredible experience tonight at Geek Bar, just celebrating Game of Thrones. I got to hold Longclaw and Oathbreaker. I got to wear helms from the series as well. Lots of Three-Eyed Raven. I mean, honestly, it doesn't get much cooler than the experiences we're sharing right now, and I'm very, very happy that it's happening the way that it is. So I know we have a lot of story left. I'm looking at an index card because we just kind of jotted down things that we remembered.
And I think, you know, there's a lot left to discuss. I mean, we could spend a couple weeks probably just on Jon Snow, but and we will.
in our own
It'll be demanded of us. But from this particular episode, this finale of season 5, I know that we still have a lot to go through, specifically that we touched on briefly but really didn't get into a lot of detail, and that is everything going on out east, you know, with Tyrion, with Daenerys. You know, we talked a bit about Arya, but there's so much more there to go into, and even back in Westeros. I mean, we probably want to touch on Dorne a little bit more. And
Sansa's specific, like her breaking free and escaping.
Yeah, but well. And shame on me. I mean, I thought Dorne was done for the season on the last the last
sometimes
episode.
It's nice to be surprised.
Yeah, it is. It is. I wish it was a different outcome of that surprise.
It was a bummer.
That was such a bummer.
It really was.
Damn Ilaria. I mean, hopefully she gets what's coming to her, because to do that to a child, especially, you know, what I thought about as that was happening, not to spend too much time on this, but Oberyn's words that we don't harm
exactly
girls in Dorne.
She's become the person that he would have hated.
Yeah, no, there's no way that Oberyn would have wanted that.
Oh, absolutely not. No, definitely not.
So a lot to do later on this week.
There's a lot to do.
There's so much.
So this is a cool part where I guess we can, I mean, obviously we'll have more prompts for these sorts of things as the episodes progress, but just get your thinking caps on, if you will, and we encourage you to stick around with us in the on season. We have a book to get back to. We have books to get through before the Winds of Winter. We're very, very excited, and we've been thinking about this for months, and we've been talking about this for months. So we'll put together the best strategy possible, and we'll inform you of that whenever it is most appropriate.
Whenever John wakes up.
How can we go
He's
through,
sleeping, right?
How can we go through John chapters in the book without saying, "What's it matter? He's fucking dead."
Exactly. Thank you.
You can say that about a lot of characters.
Winter is coming.
Even this, the last episode of season 5, had so many great moments. Of course, some which we've discussed, others which we won't. But some of those moments in particular, we now choose to raise up and declare as our own.
Micah looks ready.
It's hard to give an own. I mean, this episode.
So cool to see him be ready. Sorry.
I'm ready though. I got to give it. I got to give it to Theon.
Whoa.
Thank you.
Oh my god. Whee!
And I did not know that this was coming. This is more shocking than anything that happened in tonight's episode for me.
Zach can't control
himself. Zach's dying.
He gives it to Theon.
Not to Reek, to Theon.
Eric's basically got his arm around him.
Yeah. My arm's as close as it can be or without being totally.
Because it was like the one redemptive moment in the entire episode, minus the, you know, I do like the fact that they did include some humor, which I know we'll talk about later on in the week, but I felt that was needed given all the seriousness.
Well, is it funny to watch her head splatter on the ground?
I didn't see that.
No.
I think you're embellishing now because it was Theon.
She lands on her face.
Well,
yeah.
Well, but yes, I give it to Theon.
Wow.
Wow.
That is pretty outstanding, Micah. I'm just going to say, after all the things you could have given it to, that's cool.
Well, it's not my own of the season. It's just the own of the episode.
Cool. Yeah, cool. Own of the season.
I think that's well done. Theon deserves it for this.
He does. Yeah. Now I don't have to give my own to Theon, so thank you. Thank you for
that, Micah. You got to fill the Theon quota.
He freed me up.
Well, what is your own?
I'm glad you asked. You know, I'm going to give my own to Varys.
Actually. Oh, we not brought that up yet.
Yeah. Well, plenty of stuff for next week. But Varys, for knowing when to take a step back and coming back in right at the right moment when he needs you, it seems...
Huge cheers.
It seems clearer to me now that probably setting up Tyrion to be taken by Jorah was more planned than unplanned. And Varys had no trouble finding his way to Meereen by his own ways, and he's found himself and Tyrion new jobs. If you talk about their arc throughout the season, not to, you know, go on forever here, you know, they're in a much better place now, and it's probably because of him, mostly because of, you know, his efforts. So Varys definitely owned for me seeing him again in this episode, not a character you expected to see so much as, you know, I kind of probably would have expected to see Olenna or Tommen or more of the King's Landing folk.
Not Varys. Yeah.
And he was so good.
Weren't we talking at some point, was it earlier today or something, and you were saying, we were naming off characters that we would want to see in this finale, and you said Varys, or one of you two said, it wasn't me.
I may have said Varys.
And I kind of, in my mind, I was like, he wants to see Varys. I want to see... You know, blah,
so many
blah.
More important.
Yeah, that's
cool
not
going to
happen.
Varys,
but it happened.
It
yeah.
happened. Yeah, yeah. yeah. No, I just thought it, and I thought he was done for the season. But I thought, wouldn't it be weird if he wasn't done for the season and they just kind of bookended, like, you
and
know,
they did.
Character.
They did.
So that's cool. But they didn't. There weren't any other characters that really did that with. So it's like not something you could easily.
Well, which probably means something. Which
yeah.
I'm looking forward to this next year of speculation. I hope the rest of you listening are too.
So, Zach, we've given you enough of a
thank you.
Time to
thank
figure out. I knew this whole time. You know, in case you were wondering, sometimes listeners at home, you know that Zach sometimes really likes to wait because he doesn't actually have a known. He admitted to this, I think, on the last episode that he was on. And I can confirm that you can actually see it in his eyes when he doesn't have a known. It's a visible physical sign you can see when
just
he doesn't
just give
have
it
known.
To Theon.
Does that make Eric happy? Okay. Oh, man. I didn't. God, why didn't I think of this beforehand? This is a problem.
What, your own?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude.
I kind of want to give it to Alistair Thorne.
Don't.
I think it's important to give credit where credit's due. And the moment Jaime had a stretch of time to have a proper conversation with Myrcella, he was going to straight up be straight up with her about the entire thing. And I thought that was a bravo moment. I thought it was a very strong thing to do for a character. And I think that, you know, avoiding issues and topics is in general a very bad practice. And so seeing him go directly to say, "Hi, I'm not your uncle." Like, this isn't a small thing, but your mom and I, you know, I'm your uncle and like we're brother and sister. We made you. I'm your dad, and we've known it the whole time. And you're now a grown-ish person, and I'm just telling you. That's really, really heavy stuff. And I guess you could also give an own to Myrcella for being such a good person and handling it well, and being gentle with him, because she's got to know how important it is and how big of a deal it is
yes,
for him
100%.
To say that as well.
Absolutely.
So really, I knew in that moment that Myrcella was toast, or that they were both toast, that the ship was going to go up in flames, something, because that was possibly one of the most perfect moments, one of the nicest moments on the show that they've ever had.
I really thought that, it was, you know? I thought it was going to be the nice moment of the episode. And, you know, with everything else that took place, I figured that, okay, here's the one scene that we're going to get that actually doesn't end in death or something horrible. And then for them to do that, it was painful to watch. I mean, obviously it didn't have the same level of intensity as what happened to Shireen, but it's the same kind of thing. That there's a pure character. We haven't spent as much time with her, obviously, but
or this actress.
This actress
recast for a season to kill her.
I don't know. I don't know.
You look sad, sort of.
For her, yeah.
You're grinning, but you still
I know she's
look
not
sad.
Real, but you know, it's right. Just because it's another innocent, right? It's right. Another innocent that has died at the hands of Alaria is not, I mean, you don't expect that from her. I mean, you don't.
Those were our owns.
Those were our owns.
For the final season.
The onus is no longer on us.
I feel that some of you may look forward to these episodes. Probably a lot, because they're so hot button, they're so current, it's what's coming on, and you can enjoy it with us at these moments. And if that is the case, I would hate to bring your mood down, but those were the last times you're going to hear owns from us for the television series, outside of course, our owns of the season, which are approaching. If you've been listening for years, you know. Until next year. So,
yes.
High five. Mm-hmm. Join us in owning the last episode of this season and year.
There are a number of ways you can do that, as many people did this evening, right? And there were a lot of them.
Yes.
King of the Castle.
Mm-hmm. I'm a chair.
Yeah, so there were, I mean, just so many owns. And we tried to keep things spoiler-free as we retweeted. We'll put more of yours out there, I think, later on in the week that are a little bit more spoilery. We didn't want to have any UK listeners torch our asses. But
yes,
you can.
That would be bad.
It would be.
I've seen it happen.
You know, something just came to mind again. Remember when she said Melisandre torching, she said she saw Bolton banners burning? Anyway, we can talk about that later on in the week. So send us your owns. Tweet at us at Game of Owns. We will compile them. Put them in a satchel, start a campfire sometime later this week, and begin reading them. You can also scroll upon our Facebook wall, facebook.com/GameOfOwns, or you can email us, contact@GameOfOwns.com.
It's been a great day. It's been ups and downs, emotional roller coaster, seeing so many people that we watched this finale with, knowing that we'd been planning this live show that finally has happened, and it was a lot of fun, and we got to meet our listeners. Like the whole thing was just a great experience. This is the way to do finales, premieres, the way to do the show in a big group, as big a group as possible. The cheering I will still be hearing well into the week.
The biggest takeaway for me, apart from the listeners, of course, is getting to spend the weekend with you guys. It's been a blast.
Yeah.
And we've gotten to not only share in the show-centric moments, but the friend-centric moments and just the simple little things. And I'm excited to share some of those on our Patreon feed.
Yeah, chapter 8, I believe, will be on, is going to be full of adventures that we've experienced in and around this event, this travel event. And we look very forward to producing that for you and getting it together. And you know, it's just been a lot of fun. You can share in our fun. And our exploits are always available to subscribers. We really appreciate everyone for their support.
So check it out at patreon.com/goo. I will do this because we are in person together.
Good.
So there is another way you can get in touch with the show.
Tell me more, Micah.
That was way too close, Eric. But
they're sharing a mic.
Yeah. In case people didn't know.
They probably know by now.
Well, because it is the month of June and this is the end of season 5.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe that.
Nothing less than 5 stars. No, he's dead. Nothing less.
Nothing than 5 stars is acceptable. Mm-hmm.
Nothing less. I can go back to that now, right?
Yeah.
Is acceptable. Wait, I skipped the 5 stars part. Nothing less than 5 stars is acceptable. It's just the way that it is. We don't control it. It's an iTunes thing, but you know, as we mentioned earlier, as we head into this on season of ours, as we go through the rest of A Storm of Swords, you know, we want people to know that we're out there. And just knowing also that we're going to be talking about season five, at least for the next couple of episodes, we know that there's going to be plenty of people out there who are a little bit somber about what happened to Stannis. Oh, I'm sorry, Jon Snow. And I'm sorry, Selyse. Oh, I'm sorry, Marcella. Oh, I'm sorry.
Miranda.
I'm sorry.
Mary Trent.
Gone too soon.
Yes. iTunes is a great place for those people to find out that... we exist, and we do appreciate all of you heading on over there, leaving your rating and review. Please do so, or else.
That's it. Or else. This has been fun, guys.
Let's grab hands and jump off this wall together.
We should do this more often.
Agreed.
You know? Yeah. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Goodbye from Eric's kitchen table.
Okay. Well, we don't have to clap.
We don't?
No.
Why not?
Because we're together.
I want to clap though for that finale.
We probably should clap.
Oh.
Just so we say we don't have to.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
One, two, three, clap. Whoa.